This is HPR episode 2824 entitled GNU Orc, Part 15, and is part of the series Accessibility. It is hosted by Dave Morris and is about 32 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is Redirection of Input and Output, Part 2.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, everybody. This is Dave Morris for Hacker Public Radio. It's a nice day. I've got the door open, so you might hear background noises from the birds and stuff. Hopefully, nobody in the vicinity is going to start up a lawnmower. We'll see. So this is GNU Orc Part 15, and it's part of the series that Be Easy and myself are doing. I'm doing a second of a pair of episodes looking at redirection in Orc scripts. And this one, I'm going to talk primarily about the getLine command, which is used for explicit input as opposed to the usual implicit sort that we've seen up to now. And it can include redirection. Now, the getLine command and its uses is quite a complex subject. This show is going to be a bit longer than usual, but it's in no way it's going to cover all of the ins and outs of this subject. So I've redirected you to the GNU Orc User's Guide for the full details. There's links in the show notes. There's long notes for this particular episode. So let's start off with a reminder of how Orc processes its rules. I think we alluded to this, but we maybe didn't go into enough detail about this as we've been going through the series. We're looking today at how you can change the default rules, the default methods. But I thought it was worthwhile just to look at the standard approach to this sort of stuff. So when the Orc script reads a line from a file or from standard input, then it scans it and triggers, that causes it to go through all of the rules except for the ones which have a begin and end in front of them. And the rules are the things that make up the script. There's some sort of a test followed by bits of awk inside curly brackets. If a rule matches, then it's going to be run, and that process will continue until all of the rules have been checked. So it's entirely possible that multiple rules will match, and they will all be executed if so in the sequence that they're encountered. It's important to bear in mind that they are executed in that sequence. So what I've done for this show is to prepare a very, very simple data file with three lines in it and a very simple script which runs against it. Just as an aside, I'm using a command called lorem. There's a thing called lorem ipsum, which is sort of fake Latin that tends to be used to fill out forms or just to use as placeholders in blogs or something of that sort. And I've mentioned how you can get hold of this if you want to use it. So I've actually noted how I used it on the command line shell. The shell command line, I used printf space, and then in double quotes, %s backslash n, close double quotes, space, then a command substitution dollar, open parenthesis, lorem, space, w, space, 3, close parentheses. So that what that does is to run this lorem command and ask it to generate three words. Then there's a redirection, a greater than sign, to a file called orc15testdata1. And I've provided this particular file with the show. So the script, which I've shown here, and is again downloadable if you want to play with it, is a standalone Orc script, and it contains three rules. None of the rules have any matching things in front of them. So there's no tests that have been carried out. They're just three rules that will be obeyed. The first one simply prints out the string R1, in other words, rule 1, followed by three hyphens, just as a sort of delimiter. The second rule prints out R2, and then that's followed by the contents of $0. I won't read these out in minute detail because I think you should know how to do this by now. The third rule, it prints out R3, followed by the contents of $0 again. So it's really the same as R2, except that it's got a different rule number. And we've got the data file contains three nonsense Latin words. I think they're nonsense. Some of them are not, actually, but anyway, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I learnt Latin at school, but I've erased it all from my head since then. So when you run it, doesn't do anything very exciting. It simply prints out R1, three hyphens, R2, first word, voluptatibus, R3 prints out the same word. Then R1 again for the second word. I'm living on the edge by trying to pronounce these. Quarat. And then third time round, three hyphens, sunt. So, wow, gosh. So basically what it's showing is that each rule is run for each line read from the data file. The first rule doesn't do anything at all with the data, but it's still going to be triggered because there are no criteria for triggering it. It's going to happen whatever's been read in, and it's going to happen for every line that comes in. So there's nothing to stop any of these rules from running. So that's how the basic thing works. I think you probably knew this, but I thought it was worth... If you'd asked me before I started looking at this, writing this particular episode, how does this work? I'd have probably scratched my head a bit. So I just thought it was worth making it entirely clear how it works. The getLine command, then, is a way of changing how awk reads lines. Normally, they're all being read one at a time from the whatever the data source is. And there's all that stuff about matching patterns and invoking rules, etc. This is different from the way that other programming languages handle input, though some can be coerced to do stuff similar in a similar way. But the way that awk reads its data and processes it is one of its great strengths, I think. Now, the getLine command can be used to read lines explicitly outside the usual read, pattern match, action cycle. So this is an example of its use in a simple way. If it's used on its own with no arguments, it just reads in the next line and splits it up into fields in the normal way. If used with normal input, it affects how the data is read and how rules are executed. So if getLine finds a record, it returns a 1. So there are flags that it returns. And if it encounters the end of file, it returns 0. If there's an error while it's reading, it returns a -1. And sets a variable called errno in capital, which contains a description of what went wrong. So I've given you another script, which is basically the same as the first one. It's called awk15_ex2.awk. And the only difference is that rule 2, it's the same three rules, except that rule 2 also contains a getLine. So if we run that script against the same set of data we already used, then you get a different output. For the first line, you get R1 is triggered, so you get the three hyphens. R2 is triggered, and you see the first word of the file, which is this voluptatibus. But then the getLine is invoked, and that goes and gets the second line out of the file. And R3 is then triggered, because it's the next one in sequence, and it simply prints out that line. So the getLine has caused the normal sequence of reading to change. Then the next iteration, R1, three hyphens, R2, contains the last line of the file, sunt, and the getLine will not get anything back. So $0, which is printed by R3, will not be different as it was in the previous iteration. So simply, the script simply prints out the same line again. Hopefully that helps to clarify the effects of getLine and against the normal way that awk works. So I've written a slightly more usable or useful, or perhaps it's not all that useful, but a script anyway, which demonstrates a thing that might be more useful, though it needs work to make it generic. What we've got here is a file of text, another one of these files of lorem text, where I've simply written out a number of lines, and I've then split the lines and put a hyphen on the first one, at the end of the first one, so on and so forth. So there are actually six lines in the file, and they're in pairs, the first one of which has got a hyphen as the last character. What this is meant to signify is that it's a continued line, and you want the script to stick them together. The script detects that a line finishes with the hyphen, and then it concatenates them. And you can see running it what is produced. So the general rule, I won't go into detail of what's in here, but in general, if the last field of a line is a hyphen, then that hyphen is deleted and the line is saved in a variable called line, then the getline call then refills $0, and then that is printed preceded by the saved line. That's how you join two lines together. If there was a line without a hyphen on the end, which is entirely possible, then it would just be printed. Didn't actually put that in this example. Should have done, I suppose. But I'll let you play with that. Like I said, this is a very simplistic script. It doesn't cater for errors in the way in which it's laid out. And if you put hyphen on as the last element, but you've not left a space in front of it, and it's concatenated to the previous word, then this algorithm won't spot it. And it really, you should be doing that if you were trying to make it into something actually useful. There's quite a sophisticated example in the GNU/Orc User's Guide, and I've given a link to it, section 4.10.1, where something vaguely similar is being done in a more elegant and resilient way. So getline can be followed by the name of a variable, and in which case the record is read from the main input stream into that variable. Now, the record is not split into fields under these circumstances, and variables like NF, the last field, is not changed because the field splitting process has not been invoked. However, since the main input stream is being read, things like NR, the variable NR, which is the number of records, will be changed because these are being counted by Orc. I haven't gone into great detail about the side effects of this. You can find more about it in the manual. There's also a possibility of reading from a file, not too dissimilar from the way print and printf work, as we saw in the last episode. You would write getline, then a less than sign and the name of a file. The name of the file has to be a string expression or a variable. And the expression representing the file can also be used to close that file. So there's a little snippet here which sets a variable input to some other variable path, a slash in double quotes, and a variable file name. So the assumption is that path and file name are two bits of that get you to a particular file, and then you put slash between them, you're on a Unix system. Then getline less than sign input will open that file and read from it. And then once that's happened, you can type close and in parentheses input, and it will close that very file. And using variables for this is extremely wise, because otherwise you'd have to rely on your ability to exactly type the same string twice. Sorry about the noises off. Okay, so you can also, of course, read from a file into a variable. So it's reading one line at a time, as we've said, so you can read from that file into a variable. So I've got an example, which is orc15_ex4.orc, which it actually consists of a script that reads from fruit names, the file fruit names that we created in the previous episode. These two episodes were actually one originally, so they sort of refer to one another a bit. But so what it actually does is it's all done in the begin rule. No other rules in this script. And what it's doing is just reading in the file and printing it out. I did add another fiddly bit into it. So if you look at it, it's looking at a variable called ARGC, all in capitals, A-R-G-C. So we need that to be 2 because it actually includes the name of the script as the first element. And so we need that when the script is invoked, we need it to have an argument referring to the file that you want to process. So it checks to see if it is 2, and if it's not, it prints out needs a file name argument, and it sends it to STDERR, the standard error output, and exits. I just put that in because I thought it would be useful to show how you can do that type of thing. Then the actual data file is picked up from the array argv in capitals, square brackets 1. So that's that first element. Did I say? Yeah, it needs to be. There's 2 elements in it. There needs to be 2 elements in it, but they're addressed as 0 and 1. I think I did make that clear enough. So we have a while loop, and in the while loop, we have in parentheses get line less than data. So data's got the name of the file. So it's going to be reading from that file. And after the parenthesized get line with its various arguments, we have a greater than 0. So we're looking to see if the answer, if the value that comes back from get line is 1 or 0. Because when it's 0, there's no more data. It's reached the end of the file. And the loop just has one command that it invokes, which is print line. So it's get line is read into a variable called line, and it's simply printed out. And then after that while loop, there's a close command, which in parentheses uses the variable data. So it closes that file. So very, very, very trivial. It simply reads the file and prints it. Of course, as a seasoned Orc user, you will be aware that you could simply have written this as on the command line, Orc, single quotes, open curly brackets, print, close curly brackets, close single quote, space, fruit names. And it would have done exactly the same thing without anywhere near as much fuss. But this was for demonstration purposes. So next, the get line facility gets a bit more sophisticated. You can read from a pipe in Orc. Now, the way you do this is to provide a command, a vertical bar, and get line, or command vertical bar get line and then the name of a variable. But read, what happens is that the get line, the Orc runs the command as a subprocess, and it gets lines from that command and either does the usual splitting, field splitting, or it stores it in a variable. So Orc 15 EX5 to Orc is a simple Orc script which runs as its command, which is being stored. It's all within begin rule. The command sort called CMD is a wget command. So you need to have wget installed on your Linux system, or indeed a BSD system if you wish. Wget space minus or hyphen lowercase q, then a URL, which is the Hacker Public Radio stats page, which I won't read out, it's here in the notes, then hyphen capital O, that means output 2, then that's followed by a file name, which is simply a hyphen, in which case it means to output it to this, its standard out channel. So that's all in double quotes, so it's a string for Orc. So then there's a while loop, which does a similar thing. It, inside the parentheses of the test that's done every time the loop runs, each iteration, it's got CMD, in parentheses, vertical bar, get line, close parentheses, and then we compare the output from that to 0. We want it to be greater than 0, because once the output ends, then get line will return 0, which means stop. So inside the loop, which has got a body with curly brackets enclosing it, because it's a bit more complicated than the previous while loop we used, we've got an if statement where it's testing to see if $0 and then a tilde, meaning compare this with a regular expression. And the regular expression is caret, that up arrow thing, shows in Q colon. So we're looking for a line that begins with shows in queue. Close parenthesis there. Then if that matches, then we want to printf. Queued shows on HPR percent D. We're using printf. Did I say that? Percent D backslash N. And we want to print out field number 4. Once the loop has completed, then we close the pipe, which we do by giving close the command that we set up earlier in variable cmd. So the statistics is a number of lines. Stats you get from HPR is a number of lines which contain various attributes of current state of HPR. One of them is the number of shows in the queue. And what this does is it picks out just that particular piece of text. So when you run it, and I just ran it in real time, and it comes back and says queued shows on HPR colon 27, because there's 27 in the queue just at this precise moment, which is the 23rd of April. So I did another example which is essentially the same, but uses a slightly different approach. And this is AUK15EX6, but we're using getline var, name of a variable, to store the stuff. So it's the same, command is the same. There's a while loop. What the while loop does is simply gets lines from the server. And it just doesn't do anything at all with them. It simply gets them one at a time until they've all been collected, and then the connection is shut down. But what that means is that the last line that came back is still stored in the variable line. So we use split to chop that up into an array called fields using a comma as the delimiter. Then we can print out queued shows on HPR colon space percent D backslash N as the format spec for printf, comma, fields square bracket 10, the 10th item, 10th element of this last line, which is a comma separated line, contains the number of shows that are in the queue. So you get back the same answer, 27, just to demonstrate that that's a different way of doing things. So the last thing I want to say about getline is that AUK provides, or this is GNU AUK, some of the other AUK variants don't offer this, but there's the capability of accessing a coprocess. And a coprocess is a subprocess, but it can be written to and read from. So in the context of the print and printf commands, we can send data to the process, the coprocessors, with the sequence vertical bar ampersand as an operator. Not just the plain pipe, but with an ampersand after it. And I already mentioned this in the last show, number 14. And not too surprisingly, you can use getline to read this data back using the same operator. You can bring it back as fields, or you can put it in a variable. So I'm not going to go into a lot of depth. This is quite advanced, and there's a lot of information about it in the GNU AUK user's guide. There's a getline and go and coprocesses section, and there's a whole subject of two-way I/O. You can write some quite sophisticated stuff using this. So I've written a simple thing, which I've called AUK15_EX7, and it demonstrates a thing that you could do with this feature. Now, in this particular example, I've got an SQLite database, which I haven't provided for download. This is a copy of one that I use to keep track of the HPR episodes on the Internet Archive. This is going to be added to the next database design, but at the moment it's a standalone database. And for the purposes of this example, it's called auktest.db. Now, the way that you talk to the database is by sending it commands in structured query language. I have mentioned this in other shows. You might be aware of it. But the essence of what we're going to do here is to send it a command which consists of select, which is the sort of the verb used in SQL or structured query language, which lets you get data out of a database. Select space, then ID, comma, title. These are two fields of the database that I have defined. ID is the show number, title is the show title, from is the next part of the sequence, and episodes is the name of the table. Then follow that with where ID equals and then some placeholder, semicolon. You don't actually type the placeholder in this particular case, but what we're going to do is we're going to use printf to generate it. So whatever goes in that placeholder, you'll get back the answer in the form of the show number and the title for a given HBR show. So what we have in this script is we have two rules. We've got a begin rule where we're declaring things, and we're declaring db, a variable called db, which is being set to orgtest.db, the name of the file containing the little database. With a command, the command is sqlite3. That's the command which you use on the command line, which must be followed by the name of a database, which you can then either use interactively or you can feed it commands through that route. And then the third variable is called querytpl. I tend to use tpl to mean template, and in it it's a string. It's actually a template for printf, or format template, and that select id title from episodes where id equals thing that I mentioned before is in it, and the placeholder is %d and a semicolon backslash n. So that's the begin rule, and it set these variables up. Then what we want to do is to read, the script wants to read numbers, and these numbers will be show numbers that it's to interrogate the database for. So the test that we're using for this rule is that $0, the entire line, matches a regular expression which consists of the digits 0 to 9 one or more times, with nothing else on the line. It starts on the line and it ends, the line ends after the last digit. We could have been more sophisticated, then allowed spaces around it, but I didn't think it was worth the trouble for this demo. So this particular rule then uses printf with the format that we already declared called querytpl, and we feed it $0 as the variable that's going to be fed into that command. That's SQL command. We send that to the variable cmd, which is running as a coprocess, and we do it through a vertical bar and an ampersand. So what that will do, and the first time it's invoked, is it will cause the coprocess to start up, and it will feed, the coprocess will be running SQLite on the database, expecting individual commands to come in. And the first command it will get will be generated by this printf. Then the next line is using a command on the left side and a vertical bar and an ampersand with getline following it. And getline is followed by the name of a variable, which is result. So command, vertical bar, ampersand, getline, space, result. So what that will be doing is it will be talking to the coprocess and will be pulling back anything that is produced by that query onto the database as the variable result. And the last line is print space result, to print its content. So what I've actually done, there's many ways that this could be run. The simplest one for the demonstration purposes would be to feed it some numbers in a file, which is what I did. I called it orc15ex5data, but I haven't included it in the show because it's no point. It's just a line with just a file with three lines in it, and I've included the lines, the numbers per one per line, 2761, 2789, and 2773. So when you run it with this data file, it just simply returns 2761 HBR Community News for February 2019, 2789 Pacing in Storytelling, 2773 Lead Acid Battery Maintenance and Calcium Charge Voltage. That's all. It looks pretty simple. The process, the code process, will just keep running until the awk script runs out of data. When the awk script runs out of data, it will simply exit. When it exits, the coprocess will be killed off by awk. You could, if you wished, do an explicit close on that coprocessor, and that would make it go away. I didn't do that here because it didn't seem to be entirely necessary to do. But so you get some sort of idea of how you could be running a coprocess which is just sitting there waiting for stuff to be thrown at it and coming back with answers, and you can write a script which will converse with it. Okay, that's all I'm going to say then about GetLine, this particular show. I'm going to finish off with a finale, which is pretty much an announcement. Now, there is a lot more that could be said about this redirection subject input and output, as well as about coprocessors, as we said. And there's many more subjects within GNU/Org that could be examined. But we feel that now's the time to bring this series to an end. Beezy and I feel that the areas of Org, GNU/Org that we've not covered in this series might be best left for you to investigate further if you have the need. We both feel that Org is a very useful tool in many respects, but doesn't stand comparison with more advanced scripting languages such as Python, Ruby, and Perl. Perl in particular has borrowed many ideas from Org and has extended them considerably over the years. Ruby was designed with Perl in mind, and although it's probably done some of the things as a language better than Perl, and Python, which came at the subject from a different angle, has innovated enormously and is an extremely widely used language. So there are others which I won't go into, but just to give you a flavour of the fact that there's many other languages which are good for text processing other than Org. So although GNU/Org's advanced considerably since it was created, I think it shows its age quite a lot, and its usefulness is a bit limited. Now, there are cases where quite complex scripts might be written in Org, but the way most people seem to use it is part of a pipeline or inside shell scripts of various sorts, where you might write a complex script in Perl, Python, or Ruby, for example. Taking on a large project solely in Org seems like a pretty bad choice today. So before we wind up this series, it's planned to produce one more episode, number 16. And in it, Beezy and I will record a show together. Exactly how, I'm not sure, Mumble perhaps, but something more sophisticated perhaps. At the time of writing and the time of recording, there's no time scale, though we don't want to let it sit for too long. But we'll endeavour to do this as soon as our schedules allow. And we really wanted to review what has got us here and give a bit more information about why we feel it's not worth carrying on any further with the series, and just sort of give you our two different views on what we've been doing over these years now. We've been doing this for a couple of years, a bit more, not sure. Don't have the dates to hand. But anyway, that's the plan. So I hope you've enjoyed the series as a whole and have found it useful. Okay, that's it. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.